Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
He's so delusional. I am now, as of this moment, a diehard Eagles fan. Fly, Eagles, fly. Carson Wentz, baby. Wentzylvania. I'm hooking my fucking hitch to the Wentzel train. Let's go, Cowboys. Dak, Dak, Dak.
What we call the fraud horn. We're calling all frauds, and that would be Raleigh Allen, the voice of Raleigh Allen, the stallion, one member of the faculty from Creative Pro New York. Hope that show went well for you, Raleigh. Hope the main event went off with a boom. Dave Destruction Sturgio here with another episode of Destruction 101, episode 37. I play that first because he's the only one I know in history right now in my current life that gets under my skin like nobody else. And it's because of his fraudulent, rooting ways. Like, he doesn't have a team in the NFL anymore. He was a diehard Jets fan, and then the Jets shit the bed. And then he's like, oh, go Big Blue. I'm a Giants fan. Oh, go Giants. And then the Giants shit the bed. And now what? What are you going to do now, Raleigh? Oh, that's right. Follows it up with, I'm a 7-1 Eagles fan. And then I said to him in response, I said, good, because every team that you like seems to shit the bed. And that's where that go Cowboys clip comes from. Nothing is safe, nothing is sacred in the old Voxer chat. What's up, everybody? I hope everybody's enjoying their week. I hope everybody had a great Halloween. I put on a couple extra LBs with all the candy that I ate that I did not give to the trick-or-treaters. That's a lie. It's 2:19 p.m. right now on a Tuesday as I record. Had the day off today, hit the gym. I decided to join up at the local Retro in Greenbrook. New Jersey, where my buddy Richie Petishnok, he's a professional MMA fighter coming off a rough loss last weekend. Today I saw him at the gym. We shot the shit a little bit. He's doing great. He has worked for the CFFC. He's worked for the World Series of Fighting. He's also had a fight in the UFC. So very, very pumped for Richie and the future that holds for that fighter. Yeah, so I decided to join the gym. Enough is enough. I felt like a bag of shit lately. So I wanted to get that into my system. And that's getting back with the supplements and choosing a new line of supplements soon. For my own personal reasons, I'm going to be getting into or at least exploring the options of a new supplement line, staying loyal to my trainer and my mentor and my friend. Some will get that, some won't, and that's okay. But anyway, so it's a new week. Last night, as I'm watching Monday Night Football, watching my fantasy football teams go 3-0 for the first time this season, I had a clean sweep, three convincing wins too. I struggled at the end against my brother, because he had Alex Smith, he had Travis Kelce, and he also had Butker or whatever kicker Kansas City has. All three of those guys started really racking up the points fast, so I had to sweat that one out. But all teams scored over 120, which in the fantasy football world is good. And so I was watching it, and then the news broke around, I believe, 10:30, 11 o'clock, about Ezekiel Elliott and the suspension and what's happening with that. And it looks like the New York court system has decided to erase the temporary restraining order, erase the hold, and as of right now, Ezekiel Elliott serves his sixth game suspension. Now, what's that do for the Dallas Cowboys? My boys, the guys that I pretty much ride and die with, and literally almost die with, and only a few will get that. But what do they do? What's next in the Dallas Cowboy arsenal? They have formidable running backs. They do. They got, you know, Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, even rookie Rod Smith back there. There's rumors that before the deadline today, which is at 4 p.m., as I'm recording this, it's about an hour and a half away, that there's been calls and negotiations between them and the Tennessee Titans to try to obtain DeMarco Murray back into Dallas. So that would be actually pretty cool. From a nostalgia standpoint, he's been a little banged up. He's also split a lot of carries with Derrick Henry. So, again, remains to be seen. My only gripe with the NFL is that this is all, and this Jerry Jones said it best on his radio show today, that this is all Ray Rice's fault. Domestic violence in the NFL was never really brought to light because nobody ever did anything. Or if they did, it wasn't noteworthy or, you know, all domestic violence is obviously very, very real and very, very bad, okay? And I'll be the first one to agree that if you were accused and charged with domestic violence, which means you're beating up your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, whatever, any domestic in-house abuse, you are a piece of shit. And that's just the way it is. The problem is with Ezekiel Elliott, he was never charged. He was accused by his ex-girlfriend. He was, you know, accused of doing what he did and never charged. The NFL decided to take it upon themselves to suspend Ezekiel Elliott based on an accusation, no charge whatsoever. And that's something that they've done for quite some time now. It's almost as if they're the law over the law, and it makes zero sense to me. It's bothersome. It's one of those things where I just don't, I don't really get it, okay? I mean, I'm not going to complain, bitch, and moan about Zeke missing six games for fantasy reasons or Cowboy reasons. This is a person who now has to be labeled an abuser, and it's not fair because he was never charged, and all the evidence points to this girl being completely full of shit, which is why I you know, I've been in a lot of relationships, and I've never, you know, I've not always been the best guy, but I never, you know, put my hands on a woman. That's fucking ridiculous. But at the same time, I know how things get, and I know how women get, and I also know how men get when it comes to, you know, easily being, you know, the first one to call 911 in the event of emergency, or, you know, just blowing things out of proportion. And the fact that this girl's text messages were leaked and everything was put out there about how she's trying to ruin his career, it's just bothersome. It's bothersome that some girl would go out of their way to ruin a man's life. I mean, is this going to ruin a guy's life? No. I'm sure he's going to be a phenomenal running back going forward when all this is over. He's eligible to come back December 17th against the Oakland Raiders, which by then, who knows where Dallas is going to be. Do I think they can win games without him? Yeah, I do, but they're obviously not going to be the same offense. It's just not going to happen. They have a great offensive line in which that same offensive line, minus a couple guys, gave DeMarco Murray his great years, and then gave McFadden 1,000 yards rushing as well. So these are all formidable running backs that are doing their job behind this monster of a line. Now, it's taken 7 weeks for them to start pushing people around, and Zeke has been unbelievable in the last couple of weeks, but now it just, you know, it's a difficult situation where somebody's going to have to pick up the ball and run with it, literally. And do I think that we have the talent to do so as a Cowboys fan? Yeah, I think we do. It's not going to be as explosive. You're not going to get those home run runs out of, you know, these two guys. I don't think. I would love to be pleasantly surprised. But again, it all goes back to just the unfair treatment of Ezekiel Elliott. And I fear for him. And I feel bad. I literally feel bad for the guy because, again, not charged. The whole thing just kind of gets blown up. It's just, I don't know. It's one of those things. Whatever. But anyway, welcome again. That was my little rant for the intro, my Zeke rant. Big week coming up. Battle Club Pro returns for their next show. It's our anniversary show. I say our because I've been in with them since day one. It's been real fun. They put me as the on-air commissioner. I get to do color commentary, which is a different aspect of commentary. It's not calling every single move. I'll leave that up to Joaquim Morales, Money Morales. He does a great job, and it's a chance for me to do color and add a little personality and be the boss and all that cool shit. So this week, Saturday night from Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, it's Battle Club Pro. It features a hell of a show, a hell of a lineup. Some of the WrestlePro guys will be there. Anthony Bowens, Matt McIntosh, to name a few. Other stars coming in. JT Dunn is back, or at least making his debut. He was supposed to make his debut a couple months back, but I think he suffered a concussion. Battle Club Pro comes back on Saturday. Other things that have been going on, like I talked to the DJ of my wedding, and I may have mentioned this in short last episode, but I talked to the DJ of my wedding. He's a close personal friend of mine since pretty much high school, and he's revamping his entire entertainment company and relaunching in December, and I inquired with him about working with him, so there's a chance that I could be working weddings going forward. Lots of money to be made in weddings using my voice and my personality, and I think it's a good mix. I'm also in negotiation, well, not negotiation, but I'm in talks with a talent agency to try to get my voice out there. And you know, this is all stemming from the Nets thing, so I'm not completely bitter about the Nets thing. However, when the Knicks handed them a loss the other night, I got a little like, yeah, you know, I stuck up to them. The Knicks are, wow, right now, I mean, they're fun to watch. And I keep saying that about all of my teams, except for the Rangers. But last year, you know, when the Cowboys were just overachieving, they were fun to watch. And then the Yankees this year, they was overachieving and they were fun to watch. And now the Knicks are turning into it, which is pretty cool because they had the lowest of low expectations to do anything this year. And Kristaps Porzingis is showing that he is the leader that he's supposed to be. And we drafted him for that reason. And, you know, and Melo's not there. So was he the problem? Was he a little bit of a distraction being the workhorse and the celebrity per se in New York? It could be. Who knows, man? Sometimes you have to eliminate problems. This is why when I made the recommendation for the Giants to trade Odell and stack up some draft picks, you know, why is that so crazy? You know, you eliminate the distraction no matter how good he is. You know, Melo was a top five player when he came into the Knicks, and then when he left the Knicks, he was like a top 12, top 15. You know what I mean? So it's not like he fell off. So why can't that happen to Odell, especially after this gruesome injury? You never know. So if I'm the Giants and I'm the GM, I entertain some offers. Why the fuck not? I mean, it's silly not to, especially, you know, with all the trades that are happening today. I mean, again, trade deadline comes at 4:00 as I'm recording this. It's now 2:30, but people are on the move already. You know, Jay Ajayi, who was having a record low year after being a Pro Bowler last year, is traded to Philly for basically a bag of balls. Okay, a fourth round pick, which is like, I mean, yes, you could find a gem. Hence, Dak Prescott was found in the fourth round. But again, something that the Dolphins, I think the Dolphins were more on the get out of here mentality than the Eagles were on the persistent, we need a running back, because they don't. You know, LeGarrette Blount has been doing fine. They have a kid in Clement, and they also have Wendell Smallwood. So they had a committee going on there too. So for a fourth-round pick, why not take a flyer on a guy that's unhappy? So it increases his value in fantasy football, absolutely. He gets a better offensive line in Philadelphia. Philly's flying high right now, man, and it's scary because this is exactly what Dallas was doing last year, where they were just mauling teams. And they had their moments of weakness, but overall, like, Carson Wentz is playing at an incredible level right now. Their receivers are making plays. Nelson Aguilar over Alshon Jeffrey right now. That's my opinion. Zach Ertz, one of the better tight ends in the league. So they're flying high right now. Do I think they fall back to grace a little bit? Yeah, I do. They lost their left tackle. And if you ask any pro, college, high school Pop Warner quarterback, the worst lineman to lose is your blindside tackle, which in Wentz's case is his left tackle. So he's out for the year. You know, so I think they might lose a couple games here and there. They got a couple games with Dallas. One game will be minus Zeke. One game will be with Zeke. So, again, remains to be seen as far as what goes on with the Eagles. But they look good right now. And for the foreseeable future of this season, they look like they're hitting on all cylinders right now. So that should make Raleigh Allen happy because, you know, he's an Eagles fan all of a sudden. And then on top of that, like I said, the trades that have been happening relatively within the last 24 hours, Jimmy Garoppolo, which supposed to be the heir to Brady's throne, really, is traded away for a second-round pick, which, hear me out on my theory about the second-round pick, to the 49ers, who are looking, obviously, for the quarterback of the future. The search is over. Jimmy Garoppolo is your guy now. And for the Patriots standpoint, with the team they have now, I believe they're 6-2. Even if they were to go, you know, for the last, what, 8 games, so they got half a season left. Let's just say they go 5-3 the rest of the way, or even 4-4, okay? That gives them the 10-6, 11-5 record, meaning they get into the playoffs, and then we all know what happens when Brady gets into the playoffs. So realistically, if you think about it and do the math, if the Patriots get a high draft pick, whether it be 32, winning the Super Bowl again, 31, losing in the Super Bowl, or anywhere between, you know, 30, 29, 28 of being in the conference round, you're also looking at the 49ers' second-round pick, which in reality is 3 or 4 picks later than the Patriots would be picking in the first round. So you're getting 2 picks out of the probably – you're probably, in reality, getting 2 of the best 35 players in the draft. So the Patriots were smart in this, I think. I think they're the winners here. So are the Niners. I think both parties win. I think, and I've done this, and it sounds silly, but I do this move in Madden. I look at the rosters towards the trade deadline, and I see who's the worst. Who's the worst team right now? You look at their trade, and you know that they're going to have a great one or a really good two. So it's not unrealistic that the Patriots were thinking this way, because I believe that they were also offered a Browns first-round pick last year and turned it down. So, I don't know what the mentality was of getting rid of Garoppolo, but he's gone. So, that's that. So a lot of NFL stuff going on right now, and a lot of stuff will probably break within the next hour and a half before the NFL trade deadline. So, going forward, let's see. I can get to your questions later. The World Series. I know, you know, I haven't touched on any wrestling yet, but I will. The World Series is something special, and truth be told, I've not watched an inning. I really haven't, and this might be my Yankees fanhood creeping in and being bitter, but I've seen the scores, I've seen the highlights, I've seen the box scores, I've seen who's done what, and I truly believe that if the Yankees would have made the World Series with the Dodgers, that we had a really, really good chance based on our bullpen, based on our starting pitching, and based on our bats, all three aspects of a baseball game. We are better than the Astros in the pen, and starting pitching is whatever. You know, it's probably an even keel. And the bats, you know, once we turned them on, we're pretty unstoppable. So it makes me really upset, because the Yankees could have made a phenomenal run in the World Series. So I won't – I mean, will I watch tonight? Probably. It's game 6. Somebody can win. Game 7, somebody can win. Game 7 of the World Series, you're going to watch it. It's one of those things. I'm a sports fanatic. But I'll just be honest. I haven't had the time to sit down and actually watch a game of baseball, because I'm still a little bitter about the Yankees. And I'm also a little bit bitter about the firing or the removal of Joe Girardi. I after Game 2 of the Cleveland series, I can justify saying, okay, this guy just coached and managed his way out of New York. But then they rallied behind him, they rallied behind the players, and made an improbable run in both rounds with Joe Girardi as your manager. To let him go after a season like that, where there was no expectations for the New York Yankees other than rebuilding and trying to just build a decent base for next year, where we can boost up with some free agents and call up more guys from the AAA and all that other shit. But like, I didn't understand the move. My only suggestion as far as who I would want to be the new Yankees manager, which obviously won't be released until after the World Series. They don't want to take away from the World Series. And I also think it's a tampering thing where they can't talk to certain people or negotiate with certain things. I'm not sure. It can't be, because the Mets already hired their coach. So I don't know what they're waiting for, but maybe they're just being a little selfless here and saying, okay, everybody watch the World Series, and then the New York Yankees will make their splash. I don't even know the guy's name. I draw a blank right now. But the AAA head coach, manager, seems to be the best fit for the Yankees' future. Why? Because obviously he's been with these kids. He's been with the Judges, the Sanchezes. He's worked with Didi. He's worked with all these kids. The Fraziers, not Todd, Clint Frazier. He's worked with all these kids that you brought up. Severino, everybody that is on the Yankees roster right now was managed by this guy. So why not let him continue? He's won at every level. He's won in single A, double A, triple A as a manager. So I think he's got the best credentials to be the next guy. I don't want to hear these flashy names like Dom Mattingly. Like, I get it. Dom Mattingly is history and he's a legend in the Bronx. And I totally understand that. But he's also a fucking jinx. They didn't do anything with Dom Mattingly. They lost and they never won a World Series with him. So let's not get crazy. I heard a long shot of Alex Rodriguez and I'm just like, oh God, we just got rid of the circus. You know, we just got rid of all the distractions and the big contracts and all this other shit. And now you want to bring him back? Like, I don't know. I it doesn't fly with me. I don't feel it. It doesn't make sense to me. So I just wouldn't do it. But yeah, so I mean, that's the sports world right now happening between your football, your fantasy football, your NBA. I can't even talk about the NHL. As much as I talked about it back in my earlier episodes in the springtime because I was excited about the Rangers, they're terrible. They're really bad. And I think it's time to search out a new leader. I'm talking about goalie and I'm talking about coach. Vigneault is always been a hard-nosed dude, and that's why I've always liked him. But you've coached yourself out of this position. I mean, these guys aren't playing for you anymore, so I really don't know what the Rangers are waiting on, or maybe they wanted to turn around. I mean, it's just it's been rough riding right now for the New York Rangers because, you know, I can't figure it out. You don't lose that many pieces. You know, they're 3-7-2 right now. You know, it's not good. You know, I don't know. Even the Knicks at 500 are more shocking than the 3-7-2 Rangers. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk wrestling. We'll talk Wrestle Pro. We'll talk Battle Club Pro. A little preview to that show. We'll get into your questions. And then, yeah, we'll wrap it up and call it a week for episode 37. So with that, I will be right back.
Rhyme of strength, ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain, and you could be next, you better give respect, cause ain't nobody breaking this redneck, no, they don't want none, no, they don't want none, they don't want none, no, they don't want none,
they don't want none, no,
they don't want none. What up, everybody, I'm back. News that just broke, fucking Kaepernick, all of a sudden, his agent thinks he's gonna get a job within the next 10 days. So, yeah. Well, good luck with that one. So, anyway, we're back. And welcome back to Destruction 101, presented to you by the Shining Wizards Network and B-Plus Player Radio, both networks, who obviously, you know, I don't plug them enough, and I should, because obviously those are the guys that provide the forum for me to do this whole thing. I should come up with my own network, right? Fuck it. No, I'm kidding. Shout out to Tony, Eddie, Matt, Kevin over at the Shining Wizards. A shout out to Mark Adam Haggerty for helping me out with the B-Plus Player Radio. And also the Jersey Wrecking Crew, you know, High Spots, the High Spot Podcast with Jeff and Brian. So, speaking of wrestling, watched a little Raw last night. I dig the Survivor Series thing. I know that they compete every year and it's awesome. I'm excited about the fact that they're going to be, you know, adding Angle to the main event, which is, again, he said he's bringing his gold medals. Does that mean we get the singlet with the medals and the real music and the ambiance? And I think so. I think a Survivor Series is definitely the place. I'm recording this 2:43 p.m., so tonight is SmackDown Live. Now, what does SmackDown do in rebuttal? I personally think that either A, Shane's in, or B, the shocker of shockers, Daniel Bryan's in. So I know this is kind of a little off the beaten path here, but Daniel Bryan being attacked on Raw, you kind of wonder, does that set him off and he just took a bump and, you know, is he ready to rock and roll? Well, I guess it remains to be seen. Also, I want to play something for you guys right now. It's from The Miz. Just give me a second. It's a promo that he shot from his car, and I'll elaborate a little bit more. Hold on one second.
That's your message. I've been really busy this week, but I got to say, it's the best promo I've ever seen you cut. It's amazing because when I cut my best promos, it's in front of thousands in attendance and millions watching at home on a big camera in a WWE ring, while your best promo is on an iPhone on social media. So listen up, Twitter tough guy. This isn't about Raw and SmackDown supremacy for me. This is about making the Intercontinental Championship the most prestigious and honorable title in all the WWE. I bust my ass day in and day out to make that title relevant, while the United States Championship is working overtime to make its holder relevant. See, I've heard all about you in the WWE ring, how talented you are. But to me, you're just another generic big man who will be gone in 2 years while I'm carrying this show for the next 10. And if you ever talk about my pregnant wife again, I'll knock your teeth down your throat.
Good Lord. That's Mike the Miz. The reason why I bring that up is because it's real. And it's something that I really, truly believe that a guy like the Miz can carry the WWE for a long time. Why? Because he's charismatic. He cuts these promos, and when he wants to, he gets real, and it makes for better television. It makes for a better rivalry. Would you ever be interested in The Miz and Baron Corbin had this not happened? It's just something I wanted to share because I love The Miz. I think he's fantastic. I think he's one of the better wrestlers on the rosters. I think he's, you know, one of the guys that will be there for a while, and he knows what he's doing to prolong his body. And it, you know, it's one of those things, man. This is the kind of shit that excites me lately when it comes to wrestling, is real. And it comes across as just, he's really fired up, about Baron Corbin. I think that the pay-per-view as a whole will be great. Champions versus champions. Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal. I believe the tag team champions are facing off against each other. I'm not sure on that. The women's title, I think, is being the Raw women's champion and the SmackDown women's champion. They'll collide as well. So it makes for good television. It makes for a good fall season. I always think the wrestling world gets a little bit more popular when it comes to the fall. The summer, it dies down. Yeah, you have SummerSlam and shit like that, but you also have people going away on vacation or people going outside more because the weather's nice. But when the fall comes in and the winter sets in and you have to do stuff at home, people fall into those WWE Network binges, or they fall into these holes where they watch more wrestling. I know I do, and I can't be alone here. So I'm thinking as wrestling gets good, heading towards the fall and the winter, that also means everybody else benefits from this, meaning WrestlePro. November 18th is our next show from the Rahway Rec Center. Then we have one in Brooklyn, I believe, in December. And then another show in Rahway in December as well. So that's three shows in the fall that I'm excited about because, obviously, we're bringing in top-notch talent. A lot of guys from Impact. I mean, it seems that we have a really great working relationship with Impact, with Kevin being friends with pretty much everybody on the roster. Bringing in your LAX, bringing in your Eli Drakes, and also your Sanjay Dutts. Sanjay's great. I always love seeing him. But it just seems that wrestling as a whole is picking up. First of all, congratulations to Casey Cattell. I'm a big believer in hard work. Same thing goes for Johnny Clash. Congratulations to him winning the Creator Pro Championship. Casey Cattell getting a match on Raw. That's very hard to do on an immediate basis. I mean, you got a guy like Chris Payne, good friend of mine, is just in the ear of all the producers down there in Florida, and he's getting matches on NXT, which is great. I mean, congratulations. He gets a lot of tryouts, gets a lot of looks. A lot of people get extra work where they're the ambulance guy or they're just somebody standing in the back or whatever the case may be. They're a security guard, whatever. Casey got a match against the top star on the women's scene that's on the up and ups. That's huge, okay? However, dear gentlemen, who I see what you guys write, and it's borderline disturbing, and I talked about it on Twitter. I said, dear fellas, stop being fucking creeps. Like, I don't know if you notice when you say certain things to certain girls, how it comes off. Because I know, because I, these girls tell me these things. They're friends of mine, so they're going to be like, oh my God, another one. Like, a girl can't even say, good morning, Baltimore, without the fucking hounds of people just jumping on her bones. Like, it's disturbing. One of them being Mr. Praying Hands. You know what I mean? Like, it is just cringeworthy what I see from these guys. And, you know, this is why I tell people not to date in wrestling. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. Like, right now, I know Rin is dating Hose B. Okay, Javi, WrestlePro. They're a great couple. They're fucking awesome together. It works. You just don't date in wrestling. It always winds up bad. I see wrestlers, you know, dropping hints at Casey, and it's just like, oh my God, what are you thinking? Like, it's just not going to work. And I'm not trying to give you advice, or I'm not trying to pray you off her, but I am trying to save her well-being, because fuck, man, I guarantee you, like, I can make a joke about it, like, haha, you know, Casey's getting her ass kicked on Raw. But in reality, I'm like, wow, I'm fucking proud of this girl. Like, I literally, like, I woke up my wife who's laying down next to me. I'm like, holy shit, honey, look, it's Casey. Like, she's on Raw. And I had no idea. Even her Good Morning Baltimore post from yesterday, I had zero idea. And then once I heard Baltimore in the broadcast, and I was like, huh, maybe she gets extra work. But where can they use girls and extras? EMTs, like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, boom, there she is right in the fucking front and center on my 55-inch TV. But it's unfortunate, because now I know what this is going to bring to her. And again, just one spot. I get it. She did great. She sold her ass off. She got her face smashed in again. She got beat up, okay? But she did a phenomenal job. I just hope to God, and I hope for her sake, that she's just not flooded with, like, fucking just countless amount of messages and I love yous and kissy faces and all sorts of shit. It's just, ugh, it just rubs me the wrong way. And you know who you are if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you have said that you love you, Casey, or, oh, you got, you know, you're so good, Casey. Oh, we love Casey. Like, holy shit, pump the brakes, dude. Like, pump the brakes. You make yourself sound ridiculous, and I'm talking directly to you, motherfucker, and I know you're listening. So just fuck, pump the brakes. Sorry for that rant, but I just feel bad. I literally feel bad for the girl. What else do I have in my notes? I have to go to the question. I don't think I got any questions. I don't know. I posted yesterday, which, again, I do sometimes at random ass times, so it's very hard to get a gauge of who's on and who's logged on. I do have questions. Mike Malaria, who came up with the brilliant name, the Beach Buns? Oh, well, you just stack them together. Because, again, the Silver Survivor elimination matches for WrestlePro on November 18th, awesome. Cannot wait for that shit. But, yeah, we stacked the Beach Bums with Hot Dog Starks and called them the Beach Buns. So, that's just funny. Jeremy, out of the many you don't know personally, who would you appoint as a special guest co-host for one episode? Don't know personally? That's easy. Colt Cabana. I've talked to him numerous amount of times. Obviously, every time he's at WrestlePro, he's one of the funniest dudes I've ever heard and listened to. I will also, like, did he say that who I don't know? Was that the question? Don't know personally. Oh, fuck. All right. Well, then... don't know personally. I know a lot of people, so, and I'm not name dropping or anything like that. I know a lot of people in podcast land. I guess maybe like Joe Rogan. Yeah, Joe Rogan would be a good pick. I strive to be him. He's obviously the commentator for UFC. He's also the post-match interviewer, so I've been doing all that stuff just as much as he has. You know, obviously him on a grander scale. But yeah, I guess it would be Joe Rogan. I'm a fan of his. I got to catch up on his podcast as well. As far as podcasts go, again, go check out the High Spot podcast. Go check out everything on the Shining Wizards Network. They got Ted DiBiase in studio tonight. So if you're listening to this now, you probably already heard him in studio, which is awesome. Ted DiBiase is doing he's got a documentary coming out for his life. And I think it's fucking phenomenal. So you better go check that out. Support all of our friends over at WrestlePro. We have the YouTube page that's going on right now, the YouTube channel. So be sure to check that out as well. And, yeah, I mean, I guess that's it for this week. I mean, there's been a lot of rants and some sports and some things. And Jamie likes when it's short and sweet so he can take a shit and just listen to this while he's shitting. So for his 40-minute shit or whatever it is tonight, best of luck to you. Going forward, like I said, Battle Club Pro this Friday Saturday night, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Sunday, what do I got Sunday? Nothing, just more football. Fantasy football update. I am now 4-3-1 in my league. Yes, that's right. I tied. I told you guys that last week. I am 6-2 in the Creator Pro League, where I'm now second place right behind the 7-1 Johnny Clash. And in another league, the bigger money league, I am now 4-4. I've climbed back. Clean sweep this week. Very excited about it. Very excited about all these trades and what impacts they make in fantasy world. I made a trade today. You can critique me if you'd like. In my league, obviously I had Ezekiel Elliott, and with him being out for 6 weeks, the chances of me getting Alfred Morris, being that my record's okay, is not good. So I decided Deshaun Watson is my quarterback going forward. I think he's a phenomenal stud, and I think he's going to be great in the fantasy world as far as rushing and throwing. I also have Russell Wilson, who has also come on. So choose between the two. I choose Deshaun Watson. I see a little bit more upside with him. I like the I like it. I just like it. So I traded Russell Wilson and his receiver, Doug Baldwin, who I had on my team, in exchange for Christian McCaffrey from the Panthers and Adrian Peterson, who now is the starting running back over in Arizona without a quarterback. So they're going to rely heavy on the run game. I think I made out on that one, especially because I'm not going to use Wilson anymore. It's almost like a Baldwin for two people deal. So critique that if you like. You can follow me on Twitter at Dave Sturch, DaveSturch. For whatever reason, I don't know what I did right, but I gained a lot of followers over the last week. So I'd like to break the 1,000 mark at some point, because I'm sick and tired of guys like Jimmy Controversy having like fucking 10,000 followers. And here I am like, I'll get to 1,000 one day. If you don't know who Jimmy Controversy is, he's Officer James Romer in the Job Squad. No, wow, Job Squad. Job Security. What else? You can follow me on Instagram, Dave Destruction. No, that's wrong. You can follow me on Instagram at Dave Sturch. Same thing. DaveSturch. Facebook.com/Destruction101. Also, WrestlePROOnline.com. Follow all the happenings going on in the world of WrestlePro. Go support Battle Club Pro this Saturday night. Come see me. Come say hello. Come take a picture. I'll charge you. And that's it, man. Again, hope you guys enjoyed your happy Halloween. I'm so glad November's here. We're heading towards the holidays, my favorite time of the year, November, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah. Yes, Hanukkah. I have a Jewish stepmother. And New Year's. All the holidays are coming up, and I really cannot wait for the future. I leave you with something tonight that hit home with me. It also, really, really good shit. It's a guy I started to follow. Gary Vaynerchuk, very, very new, very, very, it's great. It's something that I really would like you guys to check out. I posted on Facebook, not one goddamn person liked it, so maybe you didn't see it. So I'm going to play it for you here. It's a little bit of a motivational speech, based on his, you know, his challenge to me. 62 days left in 2017. It's time to figure myself out. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk soon.
It's 2017. What do you think's coming next? Keep grinding, keep hustling. You know all the cliche shit, but most of all, figure yourself out. Everybody's trying to make you fix all your shortcomings. Fuck your shortcomings. Triple down on your strengths. What do you want? Whatever it may be, you need to reverse engineer your ambition. It's basic. Do you care about what other people think? You're vulnerable right then and there. If you just want to not have a mortgage and have a pool and go on a vacation for 1 week a year, you don't have to work 27 hours a day. If you want to buy the fucking jets and go all time, you have to work 37 hours a day. Like, I just think everybody's lost perspective. So I'm trying to rewind it back to just be grateful. It's like gratitude. It's just gratitude. Like, one life, one at bat, one time. I just don't want to see that regret in my eyes that I see in so many. You just have to know yourself. You have to deploy self-awareness. You're going to have to start paying attention to what you do well and start spending all your time on what you're good at instead of spending all your time on what you're bad at. If you want something, go fucking get it. But you need to fucking make a decision today. You're going to finally fucking eat shit and do something about it. 6 years in the making, a whole lot of losing along the way, but learning my craft. Are you going to make pretend you're a business person because it feels nice, or are you going to become a business person? Eating shit for a decade and doing it for yourself is a good one for you. Just trying to, you know, run my business, VaynerX. I end with this, my friends in Utah. Do you actually know what the fuck you're doing? Are you actually putting in the work? Do you really want this that bad? Or do you want to make it look like you want it that bad? I challenge you, and I hope to see you soon. Thank you. You only get to live this life one time. Once. You only get to do it one time. And one very smart thing a lot of you youngsters can do is go volunteer at a nursing home one time and go hang out with people that are 70, 80, 90, like your grandparents, like your great-grandparents. The number one thing they'll tell you is they regret the things they didn't do. So try. What are you waiting for? Just because somebody's going to make fun of you on your YouTube video, you're not going to care in 3, 4, 5, 6 years. But what you might have left on the table was the thing that would have changed your life.
Some legends are told, some turn to dust or to gold, but you will.